So we're continuing in the theme of all access. So I want to kind of rehash a little bit what we have discussed up to this point. And I know, I believe the first topic was not shared because there's a special speaker at the time. So let me kind of go through a little bit about what Kojos shared in San Ramon Church. Did it work? Oh, sorry. Maybe. Does this work? I don't think it works. Yeah? No? Ah. Cool. Thank you. So, the first topic of all access, it's about having access to the ultimate source. It's basically telling us about, as you claim, as a Christian, as you actually start put your faith and belief in Jesus Christ, you just don't necessarily just change the identity of your spiritual identity. You also be given a lot of access, a lot of privileges, a lot of promises, a lot of gifts, right? And too far, yeah? Okay, so some of those access, it's okay, Pastor. I'll just stay here. Comes in many forms, in many, many promises. Access to grace, God's grace, access to God's help in time of need, definitely access to salvations. The very first thing that you will get when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is access to salvations. And salvation itself is free. Amen? So anything, if this is just maybe a short list of what is the good gifts and privileges that you can do, right? That you can have access to, including protections and comfort, right? And also, I did hear last week's sermon about Pastor Sugi share about having a restful life. Now, I hear the recording, and some of you, when Pastor asks, some of you are not responding. So I don't know whether it's because you're taking notes or is still hard to comprehend or hard to understand. So let me ask you, anybody remember two things about having a restful life? Anybody? Brave souls out there? Okay. All right. So let me help you remember. There are two things that Pastor mentioned last week about restful life. First, or actually the second when he brought it up, is basically having the final eternal reunion, final eternal rest with Jesus Christ. I hope all of you, when you accept Jesus Christ and become a Christian, you know your end goal, your end status will be resting peacefully and eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen? Who wants that? I believe all of us want it. That's the reason why we believe in Jesus, right? Because we believe in the gift of salvation that Jesus brings by through putting our faith and hope in Him. Amen? So we will look forward to that moment. Amen? That one of those days, we all get reunited with Jesus. But how about from now until then, Pastor Sugi mentions about having this restful lifestyle that is being able to break away or cease from all the worries of your life. So you can definitely relate with me on this. Right now, some of you still have finals. Who is still having finals? All the Berkeley or all the DVCs? DVCs. All the Berkeleys all gone? Oh, man. All right. So be nice to them, okay? Don't show off. Wait until your grade comes out. No, but what my point is, yes, now you're probably sitting down over here. You're probably asking yourself, what am I doing here? Why do I not just stay at home and focus on studying and then get ready for my final? All kinds of worry, all kinds of chaos, thinking probably currently happening right now. In fact, some of you are probably busy looking at other things than paying attention right now. Pastor Sugi mentioned last week about Instagram or whatever. Some of you probably worry about, man, I'm so hungry, what I want to eat after this, right? All these things just clouding and just making you less calm. Just making you more worried, restless. I'm just there's like fire on your butt right now. Like I just want to get out and get out of here right now. So having a restful life is all about basically how to break away from that one, right? Just set aside your worry for a temporary, focus on Jesus, and basically just surrender everything to God. There's always season and time for everything. And when God wants to speak to you, and I believe when you sit down over here, it's not a coincidence that you come over here. God also wants to speak to you. And that's the reason why I pray that the Holy Spirit will mold and massage the message that was spoken today so it can speak specifically to your situation, to your needs. And that's the reason why it requires you to have a restful time. So the question is, we have two topics. One, if you're having access to everything. One, if that is being restful in your life. So then the question is how to connect these two things, right? How to take a full advantage of all the promises and all the resources that God has promised to you, and how do you actually do that so that you can actually come to a state where you can say in full confidence that, yes, I am restful now. When I'm saying restful, that doesn't mean that you're free of problems, but you can say, I know I am at rest because I am not in this alone. God is with me. So why do I have to worry too much? Amen? So, to learn how to do that, let's open our Bible. Let's read the book of Hebrews from chapter 3, verse 7 to 19. Okay, so it's a long, so I want to do this trading. You want to do odd or even? Amen. Okay, odd. You guys are even. I'm odd because they have more odds number here, so I have to do more work for you. Okay, no, it's okay. All right, ready? The book of Hebrew, the word of God from the book of Hebrew, chapter 3, verse 7 to 19. All right, let's go. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the sin's deceitfulness. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body perished in the wilderness? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Amen. So let me kind of go back a little bit. So basically, this pericope kind of talks about basically some of the reason why God was quote unquote angry with the people of Israel. Because as you can hear here in the story, for 40 years, God has been very real to the people of Israel. God has spoken specifically to Moses and to Joshua. God's presence was there in the tiang api, tiang langit. What is that? Tower of fire and pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. Correct. So the people of Israel can actually feel the presence of the Lord and actually, quote unquote, can basically listen to what God is saying, but they choose to harden their hearts. And that's the reason why it's God saying, well, God was angry with them. And second, God is saying, that's the reason why they shall never enter the rest, the final resting. Amen? So it's a very long. Please take a note. Go home, meditate it. But let me kind of give you an easy way to remember this, okay? And I like to, when I was meditating on this, God kind of gave me this, something from my read, something about analogy from these pictures. Okay, and I want you to kind of take a look at it so that it's easy for you to also remember. It's neuron. Anybody biology major here? Oh my gosh, now I'm nervous. Okay, so, okay. Please stand up if I say something wrong here. Okay, so I want to use the analogy of a neuron. And let me give you a 2-3 minutes crash course of neuron in biology. Neuron is actually the basic cells that makes up your nervous system. If you know, you have a... Are you raising your hand? No. Okay, well, I pass. I pass. The first one, I pass. So our nervous system is comprised of two things, right? There is a unconscious nervous system, and there's also a conscious nervous system. So both of those systems are made up by a bunch of these small cells, okay? And these cells functions by basically receiving a stimuli, something that's feeding into this neuron, and this neuron help process the information so that it can push the information for you to respond, be it physically or emotionally. Right? For example, if you put your hand on fire, and like on a candle maybe, right? So the right response is that neuron says, wait, it's hot. And then they say, okay, pull your hands away, right? That is the purpose of neuron. Basically, quickly identifying what is going on and basically say, pull your hands, right? And that is a good neuron, right? A bad neuron is something like, same thing, you put your hand on fire and all of a sudden you start feel ticklish and laughing, you know? Oh, so ticklish. That is a wrong response, because what happened is that your neuron is telling you to laugh, to feel ticklish, while at the same time your hands start burning, right? That means the neuron is not doing its job. Now, a good neuron also, quote unquote, how do you compare a good neuron or a bad neuron, is that basically how it can... If you can see, basically, this is where it accepts the information, it processes it here in the body, and it basically pushes that quote-unquote computed information to the terminals at the end, right? So some of, actually, and then this terminal could be going through your motoric response, or it could be for another neuron, right? And this thing, this tunnel over here, an article says that they could be a few feet long, actually. In some of the neuron configurations in our body, some of this axon actually can span for a few feet. So this thing is actually quite powerful, right? And a good neuron is a cell that's basically push that stimuli, that process information as fast as it can, right? So if you touch, again, going back to the example, if you put your hand on fire, you want to immediately feel the heat or the danger of the heat, and you immediately want to pull your hand away, right? Because you don't want to wait for 5 minutes before you feel, oh, it's hot, but it's already too late. Now, there's one component of neuron, one part of it that is responsible specifically to help it transfer things fast, and that is called the myelin sheath. Can you repeat that with me? It's kind of myelin sheath. Myelin sheath. Amen? Okay, so the purpose of the myelin sheath is that it acts like insulation. So if you look at here, there's a bunch of like bakpao. It's just a series of insulations. So the analogy is this, right? So if one of you is electrical engineering, if you draw a cable with like at home, 110 or 220 volts. If you put a wire, you want that wire to be insulated. Why? Because the purpose of the insulation is to make sure the current or the electrical charge goes from point A, it goes to your, let's say, your charger or your phone, right? You want that electrical current to flow immediately over there without interruptions. So what happened if there is a tear, there's an opening in the insulations, and you just say, that's pretty cute. Let me try. You lick your finger and put your hand into that opening. What happened? Instead of the current going from the power grid to your phone, it will go through you. And what do you feel? You feel electrocuted. A to set room, right? And it's not a good feeling. 110, you can handle it. 210, basically, they say you can stick to it. Basically, because of your response is completely paralyzed at the time, you cannot respond. The neuron is basically temporarily paralyzed because of the electricity. And because of that, you cannot pull your hands away, even though you wanted to. Okay? So, that's the myelin. That is the function. That is the purpose. So, you can ask, okay, good, then I know something about myelin. So what? So, what is the applications? So, one extreme application, if you follow NBA games, Golden State Warriors, who's the most famous players over there? Stephen Curry. Why? Because he can make a three-point shoot like nothing. Oh, he's Christian too. Yes, he's Christian, correct. But we always enjoy him making the three-point shooting as if like it's nothing. It's like his bread and butter, you know? He can just like do this, maybe close his eyes. He can actually make it happen. You know why? Why he's so good? Because his neuron can connect whatever he's seeing. He look at the ring, and he does not have a set of eye on his hand. His brain takes the information, looking at the ring, he can project. The brain can quickly project. This is how I'm going to throw the ball, make the projection so that it will hit the ring and it will go in. So if you think about it, in a lot of challenges that he's facing, his myelin, his neuron works tremendously fast that he can actually shoot this three-point in less than a second. He does not like think, okay, 3 meters, you know, 3 meters, okay. No, he just do it. And you can see the response is very quick, and because of what? His nervous system's basically in sync. So if you can open his brain or his nervous system, maybe his myelin sheath is very thick. Okay, so what happened if it's damaged? When it's damaged, it start impairing your nervous system. So sometimes you see this in somebody who developed some nervous system issues. It's actually a medical illness. And multiple sclerosis, I think, is one of the worst ones. Basically, this guy is, brain-wise, is very sharp, but he just cannot communicate. He just cannot control his mouth. He cannot control his movement. And he's just basically a living human being. He basically cannot control. That is the worst part. So if your myelin is damaged, your neuron system is completely start to be deteriorating. Amen? So, then the final questions. We know how good it is. What's its function? What's its purpose? You know what's going on when it's bad. So how do we maintain? So this medical article says, there are three things that you should maintain. First is proper nutrition. Okay? Proper nutrition. And second, you have to exercise. Okay? You have to eat good food. And then you have to exercise. So if you think about this case of Stephen Curry, I don't think he just born that talented. I think he's probably have something going on. Genetically, he's tall, you know, very muscular. But if he's not practicing basketball every day, I don't believe his myelin sheath will go as good as he is right now. The fact that he's exercising daily, maybe shooting 3-point, like maybe thousands of shootings every day, just to make him as good as he is right now. So exercise. First, number one, proper nutrition. Second, exercise. The third one is sleep. So a lot of you, I've been there like you, young, after school, so tired from school, you want to take a break. You want to play games. At the time, it was Counter-Strike. For me, it was Counter-Strike. So we play Counter-Strike until 3 a.m. in the morning, especially on Friday. Oh, sorry, Saturday to Sunday. Wow, you know, 3 a.m. And then we completely forgot about church tomorrow because, we're so tired playing Counter-Strike. But sleep is very important. Why? Because you think sleep is wasting of time. A lot of us think sleeping itself is a very waste of time. But in fact, sleeping is the time where body can actually work the hardest. It actually repairs all your cells. All the damages, if you exercise, let's say if you physically exercise, you're breaking a lot of your muscle cells. And that's when your body repairing and replacing those cells. That includes the myelin sheath. So sleep is needed for it to basically to be maintained. All right. Hey, do I do good so far? Am I misleading? Okay, thank you. So then you ask Kodafit, what is this neuron system you talk about and how do we tie it back? So you get the picture of neuron. So the concept of the way neuron works is exactly how we should apply in our spiritual life. Knowing that we have so much access of power, of promises, being as a Christian, we have already direct access to the source. How do we actually get that one and move our life quickly to the restful state of mind, restful state of life? Amen. So some of you probably say, God, David, I know I believe in Jesus, but it took me a long time. You know, I'm always worried. So how do we make the practical applications of understanding what we have and consciously do something to get us to that place? Okay, so we're going to keep learning from this. Okay, and if you remember how to maintain, one is nutrition. Second is exercise. Third one is sleep or rest. Okay, okay. So three things. So here are the three things on how to maintain your spiritual myelin. First, same thing, right? Choose the right source of nutrition. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Let me make you an example. Or maybe show of hands. I mean, it's okay. I just make myself an example. God wants us to choose Him. He said that for you to develop your myelin sheath, your spiritual myelin sheath, is basically choose the right thing. Choose God first. Choose God's promises. Repeat that every day in your life. Memorizing the Bible first. Not because you want to be excellent, you want to win the competitions, but by remembering God's verses, God's promises in the Bible, you are basically feeding your spiritual myelin that wonderful nutrition that it needs, right? But here's the problem, and this is I'm guilty of it. I've been looking at myself and I see how bad I am now, because statistically people says when you look up Google, right, when is the best time to have a quiet time? 85%, 90% of the articles or all this study says early in the morning. Why? The argument says is that early in the morning, you are completely fresh. You have a complete reset of what had happened in yesterday, right? You went through so many struggles. You complete something. You feel happy. You feel sad, blah, blah, blah. Then you sleep. You sleep. You kind of reset everything. I think I can agree that by the morning, I don't wake up as frustrated. If I sleep frustrated, then I wake up a little less frustrated. I think I can agree with that. And so what happened is this article says, like, look, if you want to have your quiet time, when you want to basically receive God's voice, remembering His promises, the best thing to do is actually in the morning. And why I'm guilty? Because now in the era of smartphones, I'm very guilty of this. When I wake up, the first thing I do is reaching out to my phone. How many of you willingly to share, like, oh, I am also like that? Wow, you guys are holy church. Amen. Wow, none of you do that. I'm actually do that a lot of time. I wake up, the first thing I open my cell phones, and when I open my cell phone, it's not like I'm looking for the Bible first. I don't think in the, I don't know, it's just me. I don't go open like the Bible apps and say, start reading, what does God want to speak to me today? No, no. What I watch is I start watching like my notifications. Who texted me from China last night from work? And then who texted in WhatsApp? You know, sometimes some of you like to chat until evening and somebody already asleep. All of a sudden, the next day, 200 messages. Oh, so many. What are you talking about? Right? I want to keep myself updated with the worldly affair. And I don't want to keep myself up with the godly affair. So what happened is that the moment I wake up, I start putting in all my empty thoughts with like, oh man, this guy is struggling. Oh, this guy needs help. Oh man, my testing is not going well. What should I do? What would I say to my boss today? You know, start racing, all that racing thoughts start coming. And because of that, my minds are all busy. It's like it's a freeway. Every single thought's just going through what I'm going to say today, what I'm going to wear today. Oh man, Amy, my daughter hasn't wake up yet. Oh man, we have to make breakfast. Blah, 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 right? So, and then I become less restful. And because of that, I start to hear God's less and less, right? Somebody says, when you feel like God no longer speaking to you, it's not because he does not speak, but because we have shut our ears. I can attest to that. I can agree to that one. Because the moment I wake up, the first thing I feed in my brain is all this worldly affair. Godly affair becomes very, very quiet. Right? So, how do we actually reverse that? It's basically by making a conscious decision. When you wake up, first thing that you do is that, maybe the practical easy is that you prepare a verse the night before. When you wake up, just read that one verse and just repeat it. Maybe you don't have time, you're late to school, but you read it one time and you start walking. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. What is Romans 8:28? You start thinking about it and you start taking shower. Keep thinking Romans 8:28. Keep thinking about Romans 8:28. By the time you're done with brushing your teeth, wash yourself, that thing can come into your life. Then you can start thinking about schools, thinking about works. The reason why I put this story of Samaritan woman is from John 4. It's exactly the same story. This Samaritan woman has been with many quote-unquote husbands. So it's not clear to me whether she's a prostitute or not. But basically, she has gone through from one man to another man to another. In fact, by the time the story starts to appear, she has been with four husbands or guys, and now she's currently in the relationship with the fifth one. And Jesus spoke to her like, look, there are certain water, certain things that you keep on drinking, and the more you take that water, the more you get thirsty. You want more and more and more. And that's the thing about worldly affairs. There's not enough of worldly affairs. You say, oh, I'm reading this, what's up? I'm done. No, you keep reading it. Wow, somebody talk negative about this, wow, gossip, you know? And you just keep piling. Oh, really? Masa sih gua gak gitu? Wow, gini gua gak. Oh, just keep piling. From 200 messages become 300 in a very quickly. And you just never have enough. Just never have enough. And same thing with this woman. She has been with four guys, never have enough. And Jesus says, if you drink the water that's coming from me, you will never feel thirsty again. Right? So we have to be consciously feeding our mind with the thing that is eternal, with the thing that is all these good promises, because that is the one that will make you less thirsty as you go with your life. Amen? So, by doing that, you're amplifying God's voice. When you wake up in your life, you can tell, I know God is with me. I know God is with me. His promise is good. And I will claim it today in my life. Amen? By keep doing that, you are actually amplifying God's voice in your life. Amen? That's the first thing. All right. Second, Stephen Curry practices. Now, so how do we do this? Philippians 2. Just write it down. So, you wake up, you keep doing this, and there is actually a book that says that if you want to make something become part of your routines, you basically have to do at least 70 times on a daily basis. So, if you want to develop this habit, it will be a struggle. But if you can be consistently doing this for the next 70 days, the new neuron develops, the new myelin starts developing. And it's embedded in you. One thing I can testify, not about reading Bible, because I'm still struggling, obviously, in the morning. I really like to floss. Anybody do floss? My bed is my teeth is really bad, basically. My doctor says, oh, you keep having cavity, you know? Every time I go to the doctor, it's like a death sentence to me, because there's always something wrong with my teeth, you know, when you go to the dentist. And that's the reason why I guess nobody likes to go to the dentist. But they say, you just try floss. Floss there, you know, just try floss. So I, because of not wanting to spend money on the dentist, I start flossing. Yeah, sometimes I miss, but I make a conscious decision to floss every night. You know what? After 2 to 3 months, I can tell you now, flossing is becoming natural. Without me even thinking, I go to the restroom, floss first, without and then brushing my teeth later. It becomes a habit, right? And the same thing, when you are doing this kind of stuff, when you're developing this habit of feeding yourself with the spiritual word of God, okay, eventually it becomes a natural to you. It becomes a natural to you. You are getting better at it. You're hearing God's voice every day. You keep like, oh man, I'm so pumped up because God is with me. God's promise is always wonderful for me. But then the question is, are you going to keep that to yourself? Or are you going to try to practice that now in the more public settings? Right? You cannot just keep God's goodness to you alone. Yeah, that's good. But God says that when he wants to anoint you, it's like he wants to anoint your vessels. Our life is like a jar of vessels, right? When God is putting his anointing to you, he put it a little bit half, then you get really pumped up. You keep on a little bit more. Man, you go to the church every day now. You pump a little bit more. Whoa, start getting active in the church. And God doesn't stop there. God, oh, okay, it's full. Okay, done. God does not do that. Why? God is saying that when I pour out my anointing to you, it's going to be fulfilling to your vessel and it will be what? Overflowing. Right? When it's overflowing, I hope it's not overflowing to the drain for nothing. When God bless you with anointing, with more power, with more spiritual leadership, you need to start exercising that in the public settings. In this case, yes, if you know about God's promises, you hear some of your friends struggling in the school, struggling in the church about whatever, then you say, you know what, I remember this is God's first. I hope he can comfort you. I hope he can strengthen you, right? You start doing that because of what? The blessing does not stop on you. The blessing will go through you. You get the blessing at the same time you bless the other people. And that's the reason why the practicing aspect is really, really important, because otherwise your myelin sheath will just grow and it stops to where it thinks it's like, oh yeah, I feel comfortable now. The reason why in public settings, when you have your ministry in the care group, in the music ministry, there's always going to be conflict of interest, conflict of characters, right? When you talk to people, they like to do things. Some people like to speak very, they call it straight shooter. You know, when they speak, they just ngomongin aja, you know, I don't care about basa-basi. I don't care about all these wonderful words. I'm just going to say, you suck, right? And then what do? As a recipient of that, right? You feel hurt, right? You feel hurt. But then hopefully by the time you have all this God's covenant, God's covering on you, you're not easily be offended. Because then you can have God's perspective. Oh, this guy saying this because he meant good, for example. Oh, maybe he say this because he does not know any better. Right? So instead of being mad at someone, you just, I'm going to pray for him. Maybe by hanging out with us, practicing more with us, he can learn more. And then you just do not repay hatred with hatred. What is that? Oh, right? So you do not repay hatred with hatred. You're at the same time, you are building that people's character. Amen? At the same time, you're also building your characters. So exercise is very important. Philippians 2 is talking about basically how you basically need to walk your life, imitate Christ's value in the public settings. It talks about giving encouragement, giving strength, talking about reminding, rebuking, advising, talking about how you can become the source of calmness and source of you can help strengthen someone by comforting them. Or in a moment where somebody does not know what to do, you can give instructions. You can actually become a teacher, a mentor for this, for your friend. Third, is that me or something different? The last one is practicing. When you sleep, right? Does any of you, whenever you go sleep, you say to your friends, goodbye, my friend. I may not see you tomorrow. Goodbye, my love. Yeah. Actually, sleeping is one of the practices of applying faith, because you don't know when tomorrow you can wake up. Amen? Well, nobody wants to amen that. That's good. You want to wake up, right? But a lot of people actually die in their sleep, right? You goes unconscious for 8 hours. You don't know where you're going to wake up tomorrow, right? But if you look at it, that what does that mean? That means when you sleep, you're trusting that you're going to wake up tomorrow. You have faith that you're going to wake up tomorrow, right? And that's the same thing. The reason why myelin sheath is developed with sleeping, the same thing, our spiritual myelin has to be built upon trust also. Now, so what does that mean with trust, Kodakin? So, okay, maybe you have done number one. You've been pretty good. Quiet time is pretty good. Number two, you did okay, right? But then you'll say, God, I have done this. I have been listening to you. I have been listening to all your good promises. I've served in whatever capacity you want. I've served your people, even though they hurt me. How come my life is not getting any better? How come the job, the dream job that I have is not happening? Or how come I don't have my boyfriend yet? I don't have my girlfriend yet. What is going on? Like, you know, I've done it. What else do you want me to do, right? Well, you haven't done the trusting part, the waiting part, the patience part. If you look at the story of Peter in Matthew book, verse 14, it talks about Peter itself walking on the water. You've probably heard this so many times. Peter and the disciples have been with Jesus for so many months at the time, maybe already a year or so, right? So they have been feeding from Jesus, listening to God's word every single time. Jesus telling about the parables, they don't understand. Jesus then teach them, put them aside. Look, this is what I'm saying, okay? And teaching them, discipling them, right? So supposedly they get all this good learning and lessons, right? Immediately from the source even, right? From Jesus. Right? And then they also practice it, right? Jesus sent them like 2 by 2 to many places to minister, right? But as soon as a storm comes, as soon as something's bothering them comes, they immediately forget everything about they have learned from Jesus, right? Wow, I'm so afraid. And when they see Jesus come, they say, "Whoa, that's a ghost." And Jesus says, "Don't worry, it's me." And Peter even says, "Well, Jesus, Lord, if it's you," he said, even Jesus already says it's me. Peter even say, if it's really you, okay, I'm gonna test you, right? Jesus said, okay, you come here, you come. And what happened? Even though Peter starts with the unbelief, when the storm comes, he decided to also walk. The trust that he has in Jesus was so powerful at the time that the miracle that God did at that moment also applied to Peter. Peter can definitely start applying walking on the water. And then what happened after that? The storm gets stronger. And again, Peter got so distracted and so restless. What happened? He fell down. So that is the most important story about that number three, is that yes, you could be doing pretty good. You've been following Jesus, but sometimes we're just missing the patience part, the waiting, the trusting part. Amen? So when I also put this number one, number two, number three, it does not mean you have to go through. Yeah, maybe it's good to go through from one to three. But for example, in my situations, I actually feel pretty good about number two, number three. God has worked so many ways in my life where I know God has never, is never, never late. In fact, this past week, there is something going on at the office, and I told Chiuli, my wife, about it. About what's going on at the office. Just granted, this is the first time I have to be yelling at someone at work. I really yell at someone at work, but I have to yell because this guy basically start questioning my credibility. This guy says, "Wow, if you don't do this, that means I cannot trust you anymore. Your credibility is down to the drain." I'm like, you know, why? And I start fighting back because I don't know what happened at the end of the day. So basically, I told the story to Chiuli. And upon listening to that story, she started pumping up. Wow, this guy is not fair, huh? Wow. why? And then, what do you, this guy is not good, man. What do you want to, you know, work with him? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, look, I already have my piece. I just want to let you know. Blah, blah, blah. But she keep on adding, going at it like, you know, you should tell him. You should tell his boss. You tell, you know, you all kinds of stuff, you know. And I'm like, asking, why the one who's pissed off? I'm like, already have my piece, you know. And then it goes on for 2 days. And I realized is that, look, I already say my part. And I already have my peace. It does not matter what this guy is saying. I have a God that knows that he will defend me. I have no more worry. So I have the trusting part. In my situations, I've gone to so many issues that the number three is actually something that I'm easy. I'm easy to feel comfortable with. I can trust God. No? Yes, number two. Yes, I practice. I practice sharing here. I practice minister in many capacity. So I feel also good about it. But my struggle is actually number one. As I mentioned to you, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I see is, what's up? Right? So some of you probably not in the order, but that's fine. Right? But here's the thing. If you want to build your spiritual strength, spiritual myelin, that takes you from the restful, that takes you from like, knowing what God has given to you, all the access and all the privileges, you can definitely use all these three to get you from that state, only just from knowing it, to something like, man, I'm living it. I'm experiencing a restful life. That's it. Very simple. Three things you learn from the neuron is that you choose God, you keep practicing, no matter what it is, keep practicing. And third, the hardest part, I know, is put the trust in God. You've done it right. Just wait for God's timing. Amen? All right. I invite you to stand up. The songs, the third songs that you guys play today, today is the day. If you look at the first, it's exactly talking about this. Today is the day. When the first says, today, right now. This kind of stuff has to happen right now. It does not require you to wait until you're sick in bed, ready to meet Jesus when you start doing this. It's such a waste if you do that. He says, I cast my fear aside. Where is it? I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and my mind on you, Jesus. When you set your heart, you choose the right nutritions. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. And today is the day you have made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. When you choose to be rejoicing, when you choose to be glad, you make a conscious decision of no matter what happened, no matter all the circumstances, I'm going to keep practicing. I'm going to keep practicing with joy. And he says, lastly, he said, I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. You know, sometimes some of you think like, well, it's a coincidence, God, David. Do I talk to you about songs? No. Do you know about my sermon? Do you know about my sermon? No, never. The song amplify God's voice today. It's not a coincidence. And in every single part of our distinct, different stages of our life, let's embrace this. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to rejoice in the process. And God wants us to trust Him. Amen? Let's not just be a normal Christians that just know, yeah, I have access to salvation. Yeah, I have access to the healing. I have access to many things. But if you don't do it, it's not going to get you anywhere. And if you know now the things that I have opened my life by sharing with others, the struggle that I'm with, use that and identify your struggles and make the conscious decisions. If I'm like Kodavid, like to read on Facebook, Instagram early in the morning, let me try to do something. The night before, I was going to put the first. So that the first thing when I open my phone, it will be God's first. And I'm going to keep meditating, keep repeating that, keep repeating, keep repeating. Until that voice become a rhema, becomes one with you, then you know God is with you. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this song.